step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets,
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Abraham Lincoln Radio Studio at the George Washington Broadcast Center.
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Sup? It's Friday. How you doing? Of course, it depends on where you are. I'm somewhere where the weather is absolutely fantastic. A lot of the East Coast is getting bashed by the ends of a hurricane, and we're talking about airports right now as I speak when this is being done live. Tim Sandifer tweeted out from the Atlanta airport, busiest airport in the world, America anyway, and he said it's the worst lines he's ever seen at an airport ever at security, and he flies a lot, so that's bad news, and that's affecting every other airport in the country. So if you're flying today and maybe this weekend, it's going to be kind of rough. He's traveling a little bit. I don't know if he's been in any airports. It's Joe Getty, one half of the Armstrong and Getty Show, joining us. Joe.
Hello, everyone. Greetings from beautiful Charlotte, North Carolina. Well, Pineville, properly, but Charlotte. Site of the President's Cup Golf Tournament.
If you're in Pineville, you have to say Pineville.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or they know you're a damned Yankee.
Yeah, I mean, you're lucky you're not doing the airport thing. I mean, if it's the worst security that line that Tim has ever seen in all his flying around, it's got to be pretty bad today. And we've heard from lots of people that are stuck various places.
Yeah, Judy and I did our traveling yesterday, obviously, to be here today. Met my brother who proposed this outing. He lives in North Carolina. And we had not been back to Charlotte, except to connect to the airport, for 26 years, I think. 26 years. This is where we lived a couple of years in the 90s. This is where our son was born. When Caitlin, who's now a 30-year-old married woman, or is about to be 30 years old, she was a tiny baby, and we hadn't been back to the hood in all that time. So we thought, what the hell? We'll do the nostalgia tour, eat at our favorite places if they still exist, and come to the golf tournament. So here we are.
Cool.
Yeah, I thought, but it was freaking memory lane at that house where Declan's first house ever. And you know, of course, all the tiny little trees were enormous. But it was, it tugged at the heartstrings the way those nostalgic tours did.
Yeah, in what way? So I've done that a few times in my life where you go back to some place you lived a long, long time ago. What emotion, what was the overriding emotion, do you think?
Well, nostalgia and realizing how much time has gone by. I mean, we took the walking path behind the house where we lived. And there was the backyard where my one-year-old and three-year-old played in the sandbox. And we'd have to caution them to stay away from the creek, and where my brother, who I'm hanging out with this weekend, and my dad and I built a swing set in the middle of the night, Christmas Eve, in the freezing. So just, you know, that sort of thing. A lot of it's kid-centered, honestly. But then we went to our favorite pizza place, which thankfully still exists, and ate a lot. So win-win.
The passage of time. Joe Getty bringing perspective to the show today.
Exactly. Live today to the fullest, Jack.
Here's one of the questions that we got on, since the top Google in Russia right now is how to break an arm.
Yeah.
How would you break an arm if you needed to break an arm to get out of Russian military service? Michael hates this conversation. I'm saying you open a window, you put your arm through there, you close it, and then you just kind of fall.
You know, no, I can't even dignify that. I'd rather, why don't we talk about what beast I'd like to couple with? Something like that, just anything but this conversation.
Clearly a beagle.
I can't remember. Have you ever broken a bone?
Have I ever broken a bone? Ribs? And an ankle, I think, but, well, I know, but that's it.
Yeah, I've broken a couple myself, and it hurts bad.
It doesn't hurt as bad as going to Ukraine and fighting the Ukrainians and getting killed.
Yeah, there's that, absolutely. So a broken arm gets you, you'd think that gets you like 6 weeks, and then they say get over there and get killed for no good reason.
Yeah, I have a feeling you just go to fight the Ukrainians with a broken arm, so I'm not sure that would exactly work, and that's why there are people lined up miles deep at the Georgian border on foot and in cars to try to get out of the country.
Yeah, you wonder, even in a totalitarian regime like Putin's, you wonder if at some point bitterness, disgust, fear, resentment at this level doesn't, you know, move the immovable object.
Did you see the video of the guy punching the flight attendant because they ran out of coffee?
Speaking of bitterness and anger, no, I did not.
Yeah, it's horrible, and it's not cool, and I, you know, the guy, that he needs to go to jail. But, you know, it's the classic Chris Rock line. I ain't saying it's right, I understand. Yeah, I got on a flight the other day, and they said, oh, there'll be no coffee. Unfortunately, our machine is broken. And I seriously, if they had said we've lost an engine, I would have been less disappointed.
Wow. Well, yeah, though I am a coffee junkie, I'd be just disappointed. I can't imagine throwing dogs over it. Was that a gal flight attendant or a male air waitress?
I think it was a dude, and the dude had his back completely to, he's going down the aisle, and crazy psycho dude runs up behind him and sucker punches him in the back of the head, which is super not cool.
And then every guy on the plane should have taken one lick at him.
Yeah. Well, the next video, because the videos are out, and we have them at armstrongandgetty.com, the next video, the guy, is his hands are zip-tied together, and I think you got to let the flight attendant wail on him for a while.
Sure, a little while, yeah. If you ever in your life throw a sucker punch, we can't be friends.
Oh, yeah. That is so weak.
Yeah. Good Lord.
And it's, anyway. you know, not to stereotype, but if you're going to fight somebody square up, it's a flight attendant. I mean,
I've seen a brawny one.
Oh yeah, once. Yeah. But you don't fight them. I mean, they can't help it that they're out of coffee.
Yeah. So, Jack, do you want me to break down the President's Cup matchups for this afternoon?
So, the President's Cup is a golf tournament.
It is. You know, have you ever heard of the Ryder Cup?
I have.
The United States plays against Europe. It's a team match thing, and it's incredibly popular and exciting, and people chant USA and such, and it alternates the U.S. and Europe. Well, the President's Cup is the U.S. against the rest of the world, not Europe.
Oh.
So you got Asian guys and South American guys, Australians, and all sorts of folks. But fortunately or unfortunately, the U.S. is just whooping up on them. So, you know, it's going to be a bit of a laugher in terms of a contest, but this golf course is spectacular. I played here when we lived here 27 years ago, vague memories. But looking around, I have two thoughts. Number one, it's a gorgeous golf course. Number two, looking at the real estate around it, I don't care how rich you are, there's always somebody richer. Holy crap, are there rich people here?
Right.
I mean, there's this one house next to, I'll send you a picture of it. It's next to one of the Greeks. It looks like Louis the freaking 14th's palace at Versailles. It's ridiculous.
Is Tiger Woods playing this?
No, Tiger Woods isn't even good at walking right now, much less playing golf at an elite level.
That's the only golfer I know. Has the Saudi Arabian Golf League had any effect on this?
Oh, yes. Two of the best international players are not playing because they're off taking dirty Saudi oil money, which I would do in an instant. But it's kind of disappointing.
Yeah, that's interesting. I wonder if any other sports leagues will get disrupted like that. What if, you know, the super rich whoever's decided, you know, we're going to hire LeBron James and Steph Curry and start our own league. Yeah, it could happen.
Right, right. I mean, they make so much freaking money guaranteed that wouldn't happen. The problem with golf, and it's like tennis and similar sports, if there are any more, I'd have to think about it, is you don't make the cut, you don't make any money. All you have is your expenses. And unless you have placed fairly highly, you know, they make a lot of money, but you've got to win to make big money. Whereas the Saudis have said, hey, we're going to guarantee you $60 million. Just show up and play the tournaments. If you do well, we'll pay you more money. But the number two golfer in the world, Cam Smith of Australia, took the Live Tour money, so he's not here, which is really disappointing, partly because he's the number two, partly because he's so cute, and partly because he rocks the baddest mullet south of the equator.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Blonde mullet all day long.
Wow. Bet the chicks dig that.
Yeah, the Melbourne waterfall.
I was going to ask a golf sports related question, but I don't know. I won't do that.
Yeah, that's probably enough of that. Yeah. But it's a gorgeous day here. It's funny. I heard you talking about the bad weather on the East Coast. I was utterly clueless. It's great. It's windy here.
Well,
it was 90 here yesterday, I guess, and humid presumably.
Well, I was
it's like 72 and breezy.
I was just assuming, actually. Well, so what's causing the worst line at Atlanta Airport ever then, and all the airports on the East Coast that's affecting the rest of the country if it's not weather?
Oh, man, I don't know. I'm not saying it's not true. It's beautiful here, and I'm clueless. I haven't been paying attention, honestly.
Well, that's one of the problems that we've had going on lately, though. There have been these weekends or weeks where air travel is just brutal, and there's so many delayed and canceled flights, and there's never really an answer for why. You know, they throw out a bunch of crap. Sometimes, you know, remember, when was the big one that we had a while back? And they immediately said weather, and everybody reported, yeah, it's sunny and cloudless here. So I don't know what you're talking about. So is it COVID? Is it not enough pilots? I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, it's pilot and ground crew shortages. That's what I keep hearing. And, you know, a couple of the airline guys have said that. A couple of the roll out their bull crap, like you're saying, which I don't get. But, yeah, they laid off too many people during COVID. I don't know what they did with the government money that they're supposed to keep everybody employed with, but that's a scandal for another day.
Well, why wouldn't they just say out loud we don't have enough pilots?
I don't know. And it takes a long time to make an airplane pilot or, a major airline pilot.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I've got a buddy, a pilot, and the number of hours you've got to get to fly, I think they got to lower the qualifications. You know, you do it over a weekend in a crop duster and, you know, put you in a 747.
You land that thing and walk away, you're ready.
Exactly. Well, have a fun day watching people golf.
Thank you. I absolutely will. Shout out to all the folks, and I'll see you on Monday.
Well, one quick question. Will you yell, it's in the hole at some point? Do you do that sort of thing?
You know, I'm not really that guy. I figure I have plenty of chance passing cards. I have plenty of chance to sprout my opinions. I don't need to do it at a golf tournament, hoping I get on TV so my buddies can hear me at home.
Drop a Let's Go Brandon at a quiet moment, really loud.
Now I'm tempted.
All right, have fun.
All right, thanks. See ya.
So apparently cell phone technology has not made its way to North Carolina. That's a shame, as it sounded there. I don't know what's going on there. That's something, isn't it? So one of your biggest sports leagues in the world, the Saudis come along and throw enough money at it that they take some of the very, very top players away. That's interesting. I'm surprised that hasn't happened more often. Anyway, we got a lot more on the way. Hope you can stay with us. I want to talk about these surveillance cameras they're putting in San Francisco, or the way they're going to use surveillance cameras. I wonder if that's coming to a city near you, if you don't live in San Francisco, and how do you feel about it? Among other things, stay with us.
Armstrong and Getty. The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Tonight on Amazon, there was another Thursday night football game.
Yeah.
And apparently Amazon, yeah. Apparently Amazon has a policy not to show ads for alcohol. which means there are no beer commercials during their football games. Now, I don't know why Amazon does that, because drunk people ordering stuff on Amazon is 90% of their business.
Well, that's really interesting. They won't show beer commercials during NFL games.
I've never heard of something like that. I can't believe a big company would refuse that kind of money.
Is that a... Is Jeff Bezos a teetotaler? Which I only learned a couple of years ago, the teetotaler. I thought teetotaler meant T-E-A, as in you drink tea instead of booze. But it's T as in I believe in total abstinence. And that the group that got prohibition going back in the 20s, the teetotalers were for total abstinence. They weren't moderation. They were booze shouldn't exist. Is Jeff Bezos a teetotaler?
That I know of.
But no, does anybody know this? If you know,
didn't he open
Alex,
up,
do you know? Does anybody know?
Didn't he open up champagne when he landed with the spaceship? That's one of the first things he did was pop the bubbly, I believe.
Yeah, I don't know. That's an interesting stance. It just sounds to me like it's almost got to be a cultural decision as opposed to a money decision. Because beer commercials in the NFL, I mean, good God, what goes more hand in hand than that? Huh. If you know anything about that, give us a text. 415-295-KFTC. What an interesting stand to take. You know, you can buy all kinds of sex aids of various grotesque graphic descriptions on Amazon, for instance, but you don't allow beer commercials during an NFL game. All right. A couple of other newsy items to hit you with here. They're going to call it Rovember. As we get closer to the election in November, and Democrats try to emphasize the Supreme Court, their words, not mine, taking away a woman's right to choose, so they're going to call it Rovember to try to remind people what's at stake in the election. To that point, Chris Wallace, who used to be with Fox, is now with CNN, and he's got a new interview show. He says it's not an interview, it's a conversation. And it debuts this weekend, so a lot of the promos are out. And one of the featured guests on his interview show is Justice Breyer, who is leaving the Supreme Court and decided to step down so that Joe Biden would have a chance to nominate somebody because he was afraid if a Republican wins, then he'd have to stay on the court, blah, blah, blah. You know how that whole thing works. But in the interview, he warned that, hey, some opinions could bite you in the back. So he was warning the new conservative-dominated Supreme Court that some of their opinions are going to cause them problems or whatever, which I find troubling. So you always vote as a legal mind that's supposed to take apart a particular problem and decide how the Constitution applies to it or the law applies to it. You take into account whether or not it's going to make people happy, or you didn't. But now you think conservatives should because you don't agree with their opinions. And I'm a little troubled by that. But the other part of the interview show, not Justice Breyer, is Chris Wallace talking to Tyler Perry, one of the richest dudes in the world who makes movies. And I thought this little promo clip that they put out, the interview or conversation with Tyler Perry from Chris Wallace's new show.
My father often, he sent a message to me a few years ago through my brother saying, if I beat your ass one more time, you would beat Barack Obama, meaning that he thinks that his abuse brought me to success. But he totally negates the love of my mother, and the love of my mother is what brought me here.
Can you believe that? So Tyler Perry's been, on Oprah and lots of different shows talking about how abusive his dad was. His dad called him up and says that if I would have beat you one more time, you'd be Barack Obama. So taking credit for his success, that me beating you is why you're so successful. F that guy. Jeez, how does Tyler Perry not hire a hit? You know, good for him for not having the level of anger about that you could.
Armstrong and Getty.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
They're strung out. The shootings are over just reckless nonsense. And it's frustrating because I work with people that gotta be scared to come into the streets to handle their business.
It's been exhausting. We're dealing with an epidemic of crime and drug abuse that's just unprecedented in Minneapolis.
It takes the police forever to get here now. Yeah, there's no quick reaction anymore. You can hear the gunfire.
That's Minneapolis area where defunding the police hasn't gone exactly the way they wanted it to, but could have been lots of different places around the country where crime is up a lot more noticeable. And then we've got this ongoing story of people who have been arrested over and over and over and over again, still being out and able to rob you, hurt you, rape you, kill you. It's very disappointing. And I don't know how long it's going to take for us to wake up to the reality of that. But more on that in just a second. Also, Alex has figured out why Amazon's Thursday Night Football is not playing beer commercials. So we'll have that coming up in a little bit. But a couple of things on San Francisco, which I think California is ground zero for the whole no bail thing, which has led to all these criminals getting to go out and commit more crimes. And certainly San Francisco is one of the, on the very leading edge, or has been on the leading edge of all kinds of weird policies that's led to more crime, and Walgreens can't be open, and all the things that we've talked about for a long time. No shock that a new report shows more people are leaving San Francisco than any other metro in America, according to Redfin, which keeps track of this sort of thing. I bring this up just because, hey, making your city crappier and more dangerous leads to lots of people leaving. You got it? One story. One other thing before we get to a career criminal that is still on the streets of San Francisco. San Francisco has passed a controversial new surveillance plan. The San Francisco Board of Supervisors agreed to test Mayor London Breed's new plan to overhaul the city's surveillance practices, which will allow police to access private security cameras in real time. Now, it was a split vote. I don't know how the majority were in favor of this, but there were a handful that voted against it, including one who said, I know what the thought process is. Just trust us. Trust the police department. But the reality is that people violating civil liberties have been violating civil liberties since my ancestors were brought here. from a different continent. I don't know why I had to turn it into an immigration thing. But saying, yeah, if you give police the power to violate your civil liberties, that tends to be what happens over time. Under this new policy, if you can believe it, police can access live video of outdoor footage from private surveillance cameras owned by individuals or businesses without a warrant, as long as the camera's owner allows it. Now, how many businesses are going to allow this? I don't know. But I'm guessing that if you're a business that's getting robbed, graffitied, you know, people pooping on your sidewalk, whatever it is, you're going to say, yeah, I'll allow it. And then the police, without a warrant, can just access the private videos for whatever business it is and look at them anytime they want to. Whoa. That's pretty interesting. So that's a new thing that I didn't think would ever occur and is going to occur in San Francisco. And does that spread across the country? Okay. But people get more desperate and are more willing to give up a lot of their civil liberties when crime gets bad enough. That's just the history of things. I mean, stop and frisk in New York that went away because it was so oppressive came to be because crime was bad enough in New York that people like, yeah, stop people randomly and frisk them to see if they got a gun because I'm tired of getting robbed. If crime gets bad enough, people are willing to give up civil liberties, which is another reason for not wanting this whole crime thing to get out of hand. And now to this story. He's back is the headline from the San Francisco Chronicle. Talking about this guy, Zariga, I'm thinking is the way you pronounce his name. This week, numerous young women around San Francisco have shared descriptions on social media of the same distinctive looking man, tall, white, short-haired, covered in tattoos, following, grabbing, and in one case forcibly kissing them as they walk alone. Some people have shared photos, and these photos appear to portray Bill Jean Hobbs, the man arrested in the Zariga case. This Aaron Zariga is the woman who got, you'll hear about this in a second. So this guy Hobbs, I want to make sure you can keep the names straight. Hobbs is this tall, big dude that's going around grabbing people. He's about 33 years old. He's 6'4". He has the letters EVIL inked onto his fingers. Long record of arrests across California. Some 6'4 dude with evil tattooed on him would scare the crap out of you. Reached Thursday on his cell phone as police investigated the women's stalking reports, Hobbs admitted to the reporter that he's been following women he finds attractive. How crazy is this guy that he tells a reporter this? I was just meeting people. That's all. That's it. That's illegal. If you're walking down the street and I see you and I think that I know you or that I find you attractive, I run up to you and say hello. Is that a crime? This saga encapsulates so much of what's been angering San Francisco's about the state of the city and its criminal justice system, a seemingly slow police response, an apparent failure by the courts to provide meaningful intervention, and people are not feeling safe. It's telling that young women with next door accounts are now crowdsourcing a case against the alleged perpetrator, comparing notes about what happened in their encounters, encouraging each other to file police reports. Yeah, they had to gather on Nextdoor saying, oh, this happened to you? This happened to me, too, with the same guy. And because the police aren't taking the time to look into it and the courts won't do anything about it, they're trying to build a case so that they can do something about it. This guy Hobbs came to the public's attention last year in the Chronicle when this woman, Zariga, shared her story. Hobbs had been charged with misdemeanor counts of child molestation and battery for allegedly stalking and grabbing this particular girl. But San Francisco Superior Court Judge Russell Rocha had dismissed the case, wiping clear a court order that required Hobbs to stay away from this this woman, who is a teenager, was at the time, and releasing him from jail. Meanwhile, lots of young women have shared reports on Facebook and Nextdoor saying that a man harassed them as they walked along in various parts of San Francisco, different neighborhoods. One woman shared on social media that she had persuaded Hobbs to leave her alone by asking for his phone number and saying she'd call him later. Boy, that's a pretty good ploy. Out of fear, she posted that number and called it, and identifying this reporter then called that number and identifying myself as a Chronicle reporter, says the reporter, I asked the person who answered if it was Gene Hobbs, and he said he was. Asked him about all the complaints, and that's when he said, yeah, if I see somebody I find attractive, I run up and I hug them. Sometimes shirtless? Was he shirtless, Hansen, or completely naked? Just shirtless? Here's an example. The teen darted into a nearby store. When they came back outside, he was waiting for them, grabbed them, and wouldn't let go, according to the girl. He repeatedly told them to come with him and followed them into another store before a clerk intervened and called police. The same man, one said, approached her while walking her dog, stripped naked. Okay, stripped completely naked and ran after her. This is a guy that's 6'4 with evil tattooed on him. Another woman said she was eating lunch in her parked car when Hobbs tried getting inside the car and then stared at her. City authorities are familiar with Hobbs. Is he still out and about and doing his thing? Yeah, sure is. One woman said it made me want to leave San Francisco. You've heard these stories all across America. They get featured in the New York Post all the time about New York. You've heard them about Los Angeles, of course, San Francisco. This is happening all across the country. We've got known, whether they're mental health cases or pervos that need to be locked up or whatever they are, we didn't used to, as a society, just let these people do it over and over and over again. And city officials saying, yeah, we know the guy you're talking about. Really big guy, 6'4", strips naked sometimes, has evil tattooed on him. Yeah, he occasionally tries to get in your car or grab you. But what are you going to do? I don't even know what to say about this. I mean, just, I don't even know what to say. It's so freaking weird that this is where we've ended up as a society. I mean, so you got this guy walking around, sometimes naked, trying to get in your car, staring at you. I like you. Women scared to death, talking about they want to move. You closing down all your CVSs and Walgreens because they get robbed on a regular basis. What is this? I have trouble comprehending what is actually happening and how it's continuing. I guess vote? Is that it? You got to vote for the right people? Whether it's, mayors or sheriffs or prosecutors or whatever. We vote for the right people. I don't know. I don't know how this gets turned around. But again, I started the whole segment with more people are leaving San Francisco than any other city in America. Do you wonder why? I would think at some point city leaders would say, well, we're losing our tax base, so I guess we better do the philosophy of we got to let these people go because society is mean and they don't have any choice but to be drug addicts and poop in the street or walk around naked and grab women or steal so much from the CVS that it has to close. I guess we just got to let people do this. I'm at a loss for words on these stories. A whole bunch of them that have come out of New York in recent months have been horrific, where people are murdered or raped or killed by known lunatic, violent lunatics that are out and about, and we just allow it. It's so troubling. If you have any solutions for this or want to weigh in on the conversation, our text line is 415-295-KFTC. It's so discouraging, and I can't imagine. Well, it has happened to me on a certain level. We got accosted by a homeless person. I've told you that story a bunch of times, threatening me and my family. The guy was screaming he was going to rape my kids and murder me, and everybody was crying. And the guy's in prison now. It was bad enough he's in prison now. But that guy had a long history of doing that sort of thing, was out and about. If one of your family members actually gets hurt or killed, God forbid, and how do you live with in a society that allows somebody to do that over and over and over again? Oh, my God. So much talk about fairness. Where's the fairness in that? Wow. I'm so troubled by this trend. And it doesn't look like it's abating anytime soon. Anyway, again, our text line, 415-295-KFTC.
Armstrong and Getty.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. It is 2024, and we're going to get through this together, folks. My campaign promise to all of you here on Next Question, it's going to be a good time the whole time, we hope. I have some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring Kris Jenner, who's got some words of wisdom for me on being a good grandmother, or in her case, a good lovey.
You know, you start thinking of what you want your grandmother name to be. Like, are they going to call me grandma like I called my grandmother? So I got to choose my name, which is now Lovey.
I'll also be joined by Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, to name a few. So come on in and take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood.
I loved it. Your energy and joy.
I'm squeezing every minute I can for you out of this season of Next Question.
Last question, I promise. You have to go. I have to go. But it's been so fun, and I can't wait for you to hear it.
Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
After the power went out at his clinic, a Texas urologist found an unusual new electricity source. He used an electric truck to power a vasectomy. Yeah, but there is an easier way to use your truck to avoid getting people pregnant. Just paint flames down the side. Of course, I'd be a little offended if I went to get a vasectomy, the power went out, and I'm like, John, I'll just come back tomorrow. And then they're like, no, we cannot take the risk of you having kids.
Speaking of electric vehicles, I saw this was a review in the Los Angeles Times. I recently piloted a Ford F-150 Lightning EV. Cool looking truck. It looks just like the F-150, most popular vehicle in America for 30 years. But he drove the new Lightning. This is his review. I drove it from my Berkeley home down Interstate 5 to Long Beach, a 400-mile trip. The truck, great. The charging experience, miserable, writes Russ Mitchell in the LA Times. Pretty much the same thing I said with pretty much the same drive in my Tesla. It's absolutely a fantastic vehicle, but the charging experience, finding the stations, hanging out there as long as you got to hang out to charge up to make the trip, not so great. Like, the next time I make that same drive, I'll do it in my gas-powered car. It's enough to, so that's still a problem for electric vehicles, but not surprising to me that that guy came to that conclusion. We're talking a little bit earlier about Amazon now has Thursday Night Football and getting great ratings, by the way. I saw this. Amazon scores big win with their first Thursday Night Football game, which was, what, last Thursday. Huge numbers, well in line with what Fox had been getting over the last several seasons. So people made the switch over to Amazon quite easily, either signed up for Prime or found it somehow. But one of the interesting things that people became aware of is that Amazon is not doing booze commercials, no beer commercials. Jeez, that's been a go-to watching NFL games since I was a little kid. Back with the, you know, the John Madden, Bud Light, Miller Light commercials. Tastes great, less filling, you know. No beer commercials? Why? So we had Alex look into that. Why are there no beer commercials on Amazon's version of NFL football, Alex?
Because against Amazon's sponsored ad guidelines, you are not able to encourage, glamorize, or depict excessive consumption of alcohol. It's an Amazon choice not to take the money.
Okay, well, that kind of answers the question. Why is Amazon gets to make their own policies? They could easily say, but for football games, we're going to change the rules. And they haven't. Wonder why.
I guess with just their general advertising, it has to be suitable for a general audience, they say, all of their ads. So I guess that eliminates a certain member of the audience if you're advertising, drinking, boozing, etc.
That's got to be gazillions of dollars that they're passing up.
Probably in the 15, 20 millions at least.
That's got to be gazillions of dollars per game, because we all know, like when the Super Bowl happens, your Cokes and Pepsis are big advertisers, but you know, Budweiser, Coors right up there at the very top. So, what an interesting choice from Amazon. I wonder if they'll hold to that. Thanks, Alex. Gonna talk with Lon Hee Chen to kick off hour four. He's a guy that's running for controller in the state of California, which doesn't matter to you if you live somewhere else, but he is great on just politics and policy in general. He's worked on a number of presidential campaigns. He was a policy advisor to Mitt Romney when Mitt was running for president, and just an overall really smart guy to talk to about politics. So we'll talk about where things are with the election coming up in November. What am I supposed to call it? Rovember, if I'm a Democrat. Rovember, to remind you, everybody, that abortion is on the ballot. Do you have to have Amazon Prime to watch Thursday Night Football?
Yeah, you do.
So do that many people already have Amazon Prime? Would that be your guess?
Yeah, that'd be my guess.
Do you have Amazon Prime?
Yeah, I definitely do.
Alex, you have Amazon Prime?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Well, then that's it. Most people already have Amazon Prime. What a deal. What does that cost you? I don't even remember. Like $90?
I believe it's $120 a year now.
That many people are and you're signed up for it? Why? Why are both you guys signed up for Amazon Prime, Michael?
I like the free shipping.
Alex, is that you too?
They had football.
Oh, you signed up for Amazon Prime because of the football.
My wife had it for a while, and then we got rid of it, trying to cut back when inflation kind of sparked up. But then the NFL is going to have Thursday nights, and a bar isn't going to carry it. So I watch it from my house with Amazon Prime.
Okay, so some people do sign up for the football. Yeah, the shipping thing, that's why I signed up originally. Yeah, you're right, because if you get much stuff Amazoned to your house, I don't know if Amazoned is a verb. If you get much stuff Amazoned to your house, you don't have to ship many things to break even on the whole shipping thing for it to pay for itself. Too many memberships, though. I got the Amazon Prime. I think I got Hulu, HBO Max, Disney, Netflix. I re-signed up for my Costco membership the other day. I was like $120 a year. Too many memberships. I'll bet there's a tipping point on that soon. If inflation and interest rates continue where they are, I just feel like there's going to be a moment where it's just like, all right, that's enough. And a whole bunch of people cancel a whole bunch of their subscriptions when we just decide that's too many. You know, if you want to read a newspaper, you got that newspaper subscription in your phone, or you got, you know, are you doing Apple Music? Are you doing Spotify? I got those too. And it's like the whole, how did you go broke gradually, then suddenly. I think people are just going to reach, I don't need Spotify. I don't need Amazon Prime. I don't need Hulu. I don't need all these things. That's it. And it's going to crash pretty fast. That's my guess. I don't know. Maybe not. God, if I saw them all listed out on one piece of paper, it'd probably give me an ulcer. Add that up for, this is what I spend every single month. Half of them I don't even use. Half of them I don't even remember that I have. If you ever miss an hour of the show, it's available 1 hour at a time in a podcast called Armstrong and Getty On Demand. When you're not Googling how to break an arm to get out of the Russian military, you can Google Armstrong and Getty On Demand, and you'll find the podcast. That way, hopefully, you're paying a subscription fee to be on some sort of podcast server or something.
Armstrong.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets,
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.